I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Many small towns now rely on prisons to provide jobs in the community. In some towns, there are more prisoners locked up than people living free. But are private prisons also cashing in on prison labor? For more, we have Louise Grant, Vice President of Marketing and Communications of the Corrections Corporation of America. It's a corrections management firm working with prisons in 19 states. And Rose Braz, Campaign Director with the nonprofit organization Critical Resistance. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
So, Louise, let me start with you. Can you tell us exactly what the Corrections Corporation of America does and roughly how many prisons you work with?
Yes. Corrections Corporation of America, also named CCA, founded the corrections management industry 25 years ago. We manage on behalf of all three of the federal corrections agencies and about half of all states and a number of counties. Prisons, both for males and females. We have 65 correctional facilities in 19 states and in the District of Columbia. And our mission, as is the nation's correction system, is to safely, securely operate correctional facilities to provide a meaningful public service and to give offenders every opportunity for rehabilitation.
Are we talking about all public prisons here or public and private prisons?
Currently, the private corrections industry manages about 6% of the nation's total incarcerated population. CCA as a company has about 50% of those. So today, we manage about 75,000 offenders, and that makes us the fifth largest correction system in the country.
Now, Rose, when you think about the mission of this corporation, how does it affect the way that prison policy is unfolding in the U.S.?
Well, the reality is that other than private prisons, slavery is the only institution or industry that I can think of that derives its profit solely from depriving people of their freedom. And given who we are locking up in this country, which is largely poor people of color, prisons today, you know, have to be one of the key racial justice struggles we face. You know, if a prison system, public or private, was really about public safety or rehabilitation, the goal of that system then should be to put itself out of business. And when you have a profit motive added into the mix, there's even, you know, less impetus for that to be the end goal.
Louise, how do you address that question that, you know, is your business more like a motel, not without choice, where you put people up against their will, but that's what prisons do? Or should it be a place where people are trained and put back into society? What kinds of provisions do you make for that in how you structure the prisons you work with?
Variah, our company's interest is to safely and securely take care of the offenders who are entrusted to us by the federal government and by state government in partnership. They would not trust us to take care of their offenders if they didn't know that we were reputable, honest, full of integrity. But we are saving taxpayer dollars. When you consider that as a private operator, we can manage a prison more cost-effectively, those taxpayer dollars then can be spent by our government on other public needs, such as health care, road infrastructure, education. So aside from the cost savings that we provide corrections, let's talk about what we're providing to the men and women who are in our prisons every day. You talk about education, substance abuse treatment, vocational training. As an example, we are giving our offenders opportunities to earn their GEDs. We are giving them considerable substance abuse treatment in therapeutic community, sometimes 12 to 18 months of intensive therapy. In fact, CCA was named the very first corrections provider in the country to be approved by the National Association of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Counselors.
Let me get Rose back into the mix. Rose, I want to ask you to look at not necessarily just specifically CCA, but at prisons today on two fronts. One is the economic issues around prison labor, where prisoners are doing everything from running phone bank centers to producing clothing. And the other one is the economic impact on cities and towns where prisons are located. How do you approach both of those issues with your work?
Well, fundamentally for us, we think, and we think, you know, history bears this out, that prisons are not creating safe communities. And, you know, the conditions inside the CCA prisons are horrible. I mean, we could list a litany of lawsuits. And
Rose, have you been inside any of our prisons?
We know. I have, actually.
Okay.
You know, we could go into a discussion about which prisons I've been inside, but I have been inside of one of your prisons in Central Valley of California.
Okay.
But the conditions inside private prisons are horrible, and the conditions inside public prisons are horrible. And when you have the added profit motive, you have an added incentive, you know, to cut costs. And what we're finding, you know, years ago, when Eisenhower left office, he warned against the rise of the military-industrial complex. And what he was talking about is the arms race unrelated to needs around national security, you know, for profit. And what we're seeing today is one of the reasons, and I don't think it's the only reason, but one of the reasons that it's playing into what we call the rise of the prison-industrial complex is unrelated to public safety and has to do with profits and prison labor. Those are all parts of the piece. It's not the only pieces.
Well,
I think on your second question there, there's been a lot of interesting, really in-depth analysis of whether or not prisons have made good on the marketing pitch of being good for largely poor rural communities. And there was a recent study done by of every county that built a prison over the last 25 years, and that study by two noted academics showed that the economies of counties that built prisons actually did worse in terms of job growth than the economies of comparable counties that did not. So actually not building a prison provided more jobs than building a prison. We want people to have jobs. I want the folks that work at CCA to have jobs. I just want them to have jobs that are doing something else that are good for our community.
Now, Louise, let's talk about what CCA does in terms of labor that the prisoners do. What kind of programs do you manage in terms of what prisoners are doing inside the jails and prisons?
The vast majority of the work that we are doing in our prisons is based on educational training, vocational training, faith-based initiatives, and substance abuse training. That's where the majority of the offenders in our care are spending their time. For those who do have work jobs inside our facilities, their pay is based on whatever our government customer's contracted rate is. And if you want to talk about the economic impact, I'm happy to do that, because with a private operator, which is a very important point to note, the huge difference, a private operator such as CCA, when we own and operate a facility in a small community, we pay property taxes. The public system does not pay property taxes. So not only are we bringing typically 300 to 400 well-paying, stable jobs that can be lifelong careers with a national company that is in 19 states, but we're paying anywhere from $500,000 to well over $1 million in property taxes, along with utility payments. And when we build a prison, we're bringing 300 to 500 construction-related jobs. So in Arizona, which is a fine example, where CCA has 6 facilities actually in one county, we will be paying an estimated $7 million a year in property taxes, more than $100 million in salaries for those 2,300 employees, making us by large the absolute largest taxpaying. So you talk about a strong partnership.
I'm going to have to jump in here because we're getting close to wrap-up time, but I want to give each of you a chance, Rose first and then Louise.
Mm-hmm.
What's the end game? Rose, where do we go from here in terms of dealing with the issues around prisons, privatization, and labor? What do you want to see?
Well, private prisons are the direct historical legacy of the convict leasing system, which is the direct historical legacy of slavery. And the problem with private prisons is that their function is for profit. They have a clear financial motive to lock up more and more people for longer and longer. So we see companies like CCA donating huge sums of money to politicians or to initiative or to groups that want to increase penalties and increase the number of people in prison. And fundamentally, I think what we need to do is to, we all want safe communities, and we need to look at what really creates that, and we need to realize that our current system of locking up millions and millions of people is not an answer to public safety, whether those prisons actually are private or public.
Louise, what's the future for you? What do you want to see happen in terms of your role in the prison issue?
When you talk about public-private partnership of any sort that involves companies partnering with government, there are success stories everywhere you look. FedEx came in and said, we're a private company. We can help with mail delivery in a more efficient way. Their presence has now made the U.S. Postal Service more efficient. Hospitals, which now can be for profit, they are making all of the hospital systems more efficient. Charter schools now are very effective and are making the public system more efficient and more effective, and it's the same with corrections, except that we've been doing this for 25 years. It's a proven solution. It's saving taxpayer dollars. It's making all of government corrections more efficient. It's not a competition.
Louise.
It's a partnership.
All right.
Thank you.
Louise and Rose, thank you both.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Louise Grant is the Vice President of Marketing and Communications at the Corrections Corporation of America, and Rose Braz is the Campaign Director with Critical Resistance.